continue our series today. We've been looking back at Genesis chapter 1 in a series called In the Beginning and discovering some principles, some things that God put in place in creation when he began creating. And we're in our third week of the series. We're going to be in this all the way until Easter Sunday morning. We'll begin a new series then. But today we're going to talk. Last week we talked about, the first week we looked at just the very, we couldn't get past the first few words of the Bible where in Genesis 1:1, the very first words of Scripture declare, in the beginning, God. Amen? And we recognize that there's nothing that begins in my life that doesn't begin with God. Amen? And last week we looked at the structure that God created. We noticed that God didn't create, he didn't start off, even though his intention all along was to create man, he had you and I in mind all along. He thankfully didn't start out creating us. He didn't create man until all the structure was in place for you and I to survive, for life to survive. Amen. He didn't create man and then just allow Adam to float in the darkness of space for a few while he got the rest of creation together. No, he created life, light first, and then the atmosphere and all that. We looked at the structure that God creates. We recognized and began to understand that God doesn't create anything without giving it the appropriate structure to not only survive but thrive. Amen? Today we're going to be digging a little deeper here in Genesis chapter 1. Scriptures will be on the screen. We're going to be kind of looking at several scriptures to get an idea of this principle that we see in the beginning and verse instead of just kind of zeroing in on one or two texts. But today we're going to look at what we're going to call the principle of reproduction. Everyone say the principle of reproduction. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 1. This isn't like a weird biology thing, so don't freak out or anything. This is not going to be like eighth grade health class or anything. So just, you know, in case there's, feel like a little nervousness, like, what's going on? Here we go. Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 through. We're going to read several verses here in a row, but I want you to see this idea. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. It says, then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Now we're going to skip to verse 21 and 22 in Genesis chapter 1. It says, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Now skip down to verse 24 and 25. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind. You seeing the theme there? Each producing offspring of the same kind. Livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Now skip over to verse 27 and 28. And it says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence in this place today. Thank you for your healing touch, God, upon everyone that needs it this morning. God, thank you for your protection around all of our families, Lord. And God, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, right now to let your word become truth, revelation to us, Lord. And God, I pray beyond just understanding your word today, I pray that we will have an encounter with a living Savior, God, as we look at your word together this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody put your hand on your belly, repeat after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, moms and dads, some of you guys, especially if you have younger kids at home, you may have played this game before. This is one of my favorite games to play with my wife. She probably doesn't appreciate it as much as I do, although she has played with me as well. And it's this game. Anybody ever play this game when your kid does something? Usually it's almost always when your kid does something kind of boneheaded or foolish or annoying or frustrating. And the game I like to play is looking at my wife and saying, who does that remind you of? Anybody ever play that game before with your spouse? Who does that remind you of? So, for example, when my oldest daughter, Michaela, she in here today or she's serving somewhere? She's okay, good, so I can talk about her. She's not in the room. When my oldest daughter gets going on a story and a tangent and won't stop talking and goes on and on and on and on and on, there have been times I've had to say, Michaela, give me the short version. And she's just, you may be surprised to know this, but as a talker, that Luann will look at me and go, who does that remind you of, Justin? Because I have a tendency to be able to talk as well. You know what I mean? The other day, Michaela asked me a simple question, and I started going into this great long explanation and answer. And she's like, Dad, that's not at all what I asked you. I'm like, don't interrupt me while I'm talking. You will get the answer that I give you. Just shut up and listen. You're going to get way more. Okay, so that's Luann. When Olivia, our second oldest, she's 13, when she chucks her hip to the side and rolls her eyes with a certain eye roll, that's 100% my wife, Luann. I look at Luann and say, Luann, who does that? I mean, it literally looks just like her. And we know that's Luann. When Micah, our 10-year-old boy, when he gets quiet and he's very hard to, when he is feeling emotional, he you know, myself, I'm just out there. Michaela's usually out there. Micah is very reserved, keeps a lot of that in. When he's not feeling well, we got to pry it out of him. That's very much like Luann. I look at Luann, I say, Luann, who does that remind you of? You know what I mean? When Luca strips down to his underwear, our 4-year-old, when he strips down to his underwear in the middle of the living room, he goes, let's fight, I'm a supervillain. That's also Luann, actually. I know that's surprising. But it's obvious, it's so amazing when you have kids, you can see your own. It's scary, amazing, frustrating, but you can literally see yourself. You see this principle that God placed all the way back in creation in Genesis 1, where he said, every living creature, every living thing, every seed-bearing plant, everything will produce after its own kind. I look at my kids and I recognize I have produced after my own kind. Now that can either say amen or oh me, but it's true no matter what it is. You know what I mean? We all have the ability to produce after our own kind. So here's the principle you need to understand. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. Every life, listen now, every life that God created, he gave the ability to reproduce. And daggone it, he should not be there. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. That's driving me nuts right now. Every life God, he created, that shouldn't be there. That's my bad. Anyway, so imagine that he doesn't exist right there. This will make a lot more sense. Every life God created, he gave the ability to reproduce. Whether it was a tree, whether it was a plant, whether it was a seed of grass, whether it was a deer or an elk or a cat or a dog, and all the way down to you and I, every life that God created, he gave the ability to reproduce. You will bear fruit. You will produce seed. You will bring forth after its kind. Be fruitful. Multiply. Now, this is a very important thing for you and I to understand about who God is and the nature of who God is and the nature of how he works. Listen to me close. Okay? The way that God works is this. God produced life one time. That's it. And then he told that life, now you reproduce the life that I have already created inherently inside of you. Does that make sense? So the reason that's, this is what that means. Let's follow this train of thought all the way down. God produced some apple trees, and within the apple tree, God has never created another apple tree, not once. Not once has God spoke another apple tree into existence, save Genesis chapter 1, where he created all of the plants and all the trees and everything. He created an apple tree, and then he told that apple tree to produce after its own kind and fill the earth. God has never specifically created another fish. He created fish once, and put within fish the ability to reproduce itself and said, now multiply, fill the seas, and produce after your own kind. Okay? God, listen, we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all made in the image of God. But the only people that God specifically created were Adam and Eve. And within Adam and Eve were the genetic code, the DNA, and the ability to produce every single one of us today. Amen? So God creates once, creates life once, and then says, now you go and reproduce. Listen, even all the way, think about this, even all the way in the New Testament, even all the way to the church, Jesus created 12 disciples on the earth, and then once he was done on the earth, he then told those disciples, now you go and make other disciples, you go and multiply the life that I've given you, you go give that life to someone else and reproduce what I've done in you. This principle of reproduction exists all throughout history. And it's weaved in a pattern all the way throughout Scripture. And the reason this is really important to understand, and I've got to understand this about God, is that it will cause me to shift some of my perspectives, some of my prayers, and some of what I'm looking for God to do, and some of what I'm going to begin to take responsibility for what God has given me to do. Amen? And I'm guilty of this. I'm convinced of this in my own life, that there are many times that I will look to God and say, God, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, I need you to do this. And the reality is God has already empowered me to do what I'm waiting for him, looking for him to do. The ability to reproduce, the ability to multiply is already there. God is not likely to create again. He is likely, however, to empower you and me to create something from what he has already created. Amen? This creates a couple of real drastic shifts that I want to talk about. Number one, it's going to shift my perspective on prayer. And guess what? The reason that's important, you say, well, who cares what my perspective on this looks like? Here's why. It's going to save you a whole bunch of frustration in your life. It's going to save you a whole bunch of frustration, shaking your fist at heaven, wondering why God isn't moving, wondering why God isn't doing what you think he ought to do, and it could just be the fact that my perspective of what I'm expecting is not proper, is not lined up with the way that God has instituted in his word how he's going to move. You follow me so far? So understanding that principle, I understand that God is not likely to create again. He's likely to empower me to create something from what he's already created. He's likely to empower me to multiply, to bring forth, to produce fruit from the life that he's already put on the inside of you and me. Amen? So what that means in prayer is maybe I should stop asking God to make something and I should start asking the Holy Spirit to help me bring forth what is already on the inside of me. Amen? Maybe instead of looking up to heaven going, God, you need to do this. I need you to change this. Lord, will you send this? Will you do that? Maybe what God is really saying is why don't you look to what I've already placed on the inside of you and ask me to multiply that and figure out a way to get what's in you already out of you. Didn't Jesus say, Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, rivers of living water will flow from heaven. Is that what he said? John chapter 7, Jesus didn't say rivers of living water will flow from heaven. He said rivers of living water will flow from your inmost being. That's how this thing is supposed to work. That's how God wants to move. That's how God wants to work in your life. So Holy Spirit, God, I don't need you to do so. I don't need you to make anything new. Lord, I just need you to help me bring forth and produce. I need to tap in to the potential that you have placed in my life to bring forth, to bear fruit, to produce, to multiply. Amen, somebody? Okay? The second shift that means is this. If I'm going to begin to pray that way, I've got to recognize, guess what? I am responsible to produce. When I understand that God is not likely to create again, however, he's likely to empower me to create something from what he's already created within me, that means that the response, and this is the dangerous part. This is why we don't like to think about this. This is why I sometimes don't want this kind of perspective, is because it shifts the responsibility on God and it puts the responsibility on me. See, it's easy to blame God. Well, you know what? It's not happening because God, well, bless God, I guess it just wasn't God's will. I guess God just didn't want that to happen. And there are some sovereign things that if God doesn't ordain it to happen, friend, it's just simply not going to happen. Amen. I understand that there is that time, but there's also a lot of times where I know I blame God and say, well, that just must not have been the will of God, when in reality, I just didn't steward or produce the thing that God wanted me to do. Amen. And so this is going to shift responsibility, and I'm not going to be able to get away with going, well, that's just all God's fault. No, some of it might be my fault, and I need to take responsibility for that because I am responsible to create. Think about this. Think about this. God, nowhere in the Bible did God ever create a table. God's never created a table. God's never made a guitar. God's never made a chair that we know of. What he did do was create trees. He created ore and minerals. He created metal. He created the stuff that the plants that we get our cotton and fabric from. He created all that, and then he put within somebody the ability to look at that tree and produce a table. He created someone with the ability to look at that tree and produce a guitar. He created somebody the ability to look at that ore in the ground and create a chair. You follow what I'm saying? You see how this works? Listen, sometimes I'm asking God, I need you to bring me a table. God, I need you to bring me a guitar. Instead, he'll bring you a tree. Instead, he'll bring you a brick. Instead, he'll bring you a raw resource. And God says, here's the resource. Now trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring forth, to produce what I've already declared. Because I've already declared over you, produce, bear fruit, multiply, reign over the earth. That is the command of God on the inside of you. It is genetically locked up in our DNA from the Spirit of God. You understand? But if I don't understand that, I'll be frustrated when I keep asking God for a table and he keeps bringing me trees. And if I keep asking God for one thing and he keeps giving me raw resources, what that's probably telling me is that God is saying, I've already put the ability to make that in you. Amen? God, that we know of, never really wrote a song. He never wrote a melody. What he did do was create sound. And he created tone, and he created notes, and he created chords, but he put within somebody the ability to take those sounds, take those chords, take those notes, and take that and create something beautiful with it that gives him glory. Amen? So I've got to understand and take my responsibility seriously, understand that God has called you and I to produce. Amen? God, this is the reason, friend. You can sometimes take a person that's been saved for and been in church and following and given their life to the Lord and been saved for 40 years, but they're grumpy, they're angry, they're mean-spirited, they haven't grown in their walk with God forever. Come on, somebody. They don't ever serve, they don't ever give, they don't ever volunteer, they don't ever invite anyone to church, and they're mean, and they're the kind of Christians that you don't want to be around. Come on, somebody. Why? Because they've never taken the responsibility to produce. They're coming to church going, well, I thought the church would do it for me. I thought the preacher would do it for me. I've been waiting on God to do all this stuff. And what God has said, man, I've already done it for you. I've already empowered you. I've already filled you with the Holy Spirit. I've already died on the cross for you, rose from the dead, and let you know my son Jesus. Man, it's in you. It's already in you. And you can take another person that's been saved 6 months, and is reading their Bible, praying, studying, serving, giving, and they're on fire for God. And in 6 months, listen, in the kingdom, in our walk with God, guys, age, it really is only a number. Amen, somebody? Listen, if you've been saved for 40 years but never took any steps of faith, never grown in your walk with God, and you just stayed at that place where you just raised your hand and show up to church on Sunday, and that's pretty much all your walk with God looks like, you'll stay stuck at the same place for 40 years. And you look at somebody and go, well, how do they have all that revelation? How are they understanding all these things? Why are they being promoted and asked to lead this and that? Because you produce. As you produce, it multiplies. Come on, somebody. and the responsibility is on you and me to produce. Amen? The responsibility is on you and me to produce. The third shift that that creates, this is big. In the kingdom, it means this. On a spiritual level, and as far as the church is concerned, it means that God has empowered you and I to expand and multiply his kingdom. Amen? You know whose job it is to grow the church? It's ours. You know whose job it is to save the lost? It's ours. Now, I don't have the, I can't save anyone. You can't save anyone. You don't have that ability. That's on Jesus Christ alone. But it's my job to sow that seed, to speak that word, to invite that neighbor, to show love. Come on, somebody. It's my job to create the atmosphere where God is able, that is able to happen. It's on me. Amen? It's our job. Again, Jesus spent 3.5 years in full-time ministry before he was crucified and before he went back to heaven after the resurrection. Easter that we're going to celebrate in a few weeks. In those 3 years, he raised up 12 men specifically. There were others. There was a crowd of 120 and a larger crowd of 500 that were Jesus' followers. We know that. But there was 12 that Jesus empowered and said, okay, I'm creating life in you. Now, Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples, baptizing all nations. Amen. Some teaching them everything. What was he doing? He's saying, I've given you life. Now you take that life and bear fruit. You take that life and produce. Now the question is, how do we do that? Well, there's all kinds of manners and ways that we can take to do that. But I think this is really important to understand here. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And I'm almost done. I'm going to be another 7.5 minutes here. I said that last week and I went over a little. But I'm determined. I'm on a mission to stick with it. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Listen to what this says. You guys, many of you probably heard this text before. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the Holy Spirit, this is Paul talking, says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Have we ever heard that scripture before? That's called the fruit of the Spirit. If you grew up in church, in Sunday school, maybe you had one. Anybody remember those Velcro? They weren't Velcro, but those flannel graph boards that you threw. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember a flannel graph board in Sunday school that you would put the little Bible characters on the little black cloth, velvety type thing, and they would stick up there? If you know what I'm talking about, so I'm not, okay. So I've been in this a long time. I remember flannel graph. So you might have the flannel graph with all the little fruits of the Spirit that you throw up there from Sunday school. Listen. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's activity in your life produces, he gives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness, meekness, all those things, okay? Listen, here's what's important about fruit. And as I think sometimes you can't just read the Bible. You've got to read the Bible. There's not one word in the scripture that's on accident. Amen? Fruit is the seed-bearing part of a plant. When an apple tree grows apples, the way it reproduces is it produces apples on its limbs, and then the apples fall to the ground. If somebody doesn't come along and eat those apples, or as that decays, all of a sudden the seeds that are within that fruit get into the ground, and as long as nature runs its course, eventually those seeds will find root in the ground, and eventually another apple tree will be produced. Okay? Same thing. That's how seed works. That's how fruit works. Do you think it's an accident that Paul calls those works of the Holy Spirit fruit? If Paul calls love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, if he calls those things fruit, you know what he's saying? He's saying to you and I, this is the reproductive part of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you want to expand the kingdom, if you want to really multiply the kingdom, then guess what? It's amazing because in my mind, I'm thinking, why is he not talking? He should be talking about healing, and he should be talking about tongues, and he should be talking about miracles. He should be talking about all the crazy stuff that we think draws the crowd and really attracts people and really makes a big difference. And I'm not knocking it. We believe in all that. We believe in healing. We believe in prophecy. We believe in all that stuff. But I want you to get something, guys. That's not the stuff that Paul says reproduces. And we thought, listen, if you thought that the fruit of the Spirit, because I know I've had this interpretation before, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kind, that's just all about being nice. That's just all about being a good person. That's just all about being a good Christian. That's just all about, you know, being able to be liked and just being a sweetheart and smiling all the time. No, friend, it's not about just being a nice person. It is about reproducing the life of God on the inside of you. From the inside of you in the world around you. If I'm walking around in my life and I'm allowing the fruit of the Spirit to manifest, I'm dropping love, I'm dropping peace, I'm dropping joy, I'm dropping self-control, I am depositing seed all around in the world around me. I don't want us to think about the fruit of the Spirit. This is not just about being nice or being good. Friend, it is about reproducing the life of God on the inside of you. It is about tapping in to God's command. You know what? I believe that type of style of what God's called us to do, that's better than gimmicks. That's better than one-time flash in the pan crusades. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me say it this way. No one cares how much power of God you've experienced if you don't have peace in the storm. You want to know what causes somebody to take notice of your faith? It's not because you can shout in tongues or quote a bunch of scripture or lay hands on people and they fall on the floor or anything else. You know what's going to make people stand up and take notice of your faith is when the world is falling apart around you and you're still standing strong. You're holding steady. You're not quaking in fear and giving in to pandemonium. Come on, somebody. Now you show me that person. That person might have something on life I might need to get interested in. Nobody cares how much power of God you've got. Nobody cares how much scripture you can quote. Nobody cares how many miracles you've done if you don't have love for your neighbor. Come on, somebody. Nobody cares. Listen, again, this is not either or. It's both and. I'm just saying we need to flip our understanding and understand that, listen, while when God moves and the Holy Spirit moves supernaturally and does crazy things that we're like, man, I can't believe God did that. That's amazing and manifests his presence in a real and powerful way. That's awesome. We lean into that. But if we don't go out from that moment and have peace in a storm, self-control, discipline, joy, love, then, friend, we are not going to multiply that. Amen? And the responsibility is on you and me. Here's what you need to understand. I'm almost done. Because of Jesus, band, you guys are going to come up. Because of Jesus, listen now, everything you need to produce what God has purposed for you is already in you. If you know Jesus this morning, if you know Christ today, then everything you need to bear fruit, to multiply, I don't care if we're talking about in the church, I don't care if we're talking about on your job, I don't care if we're talking about in your family, everything you need to turn that tree into a table, everything you need to deposit that fruit in your neighbor's life around you, everything you need to produce what God has called you to produce, it is already on the inside of you. And that's not just something that I'm making up. That's not just some nice thought I'm giving you. That is straight from the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to this. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. God has given us, not is going to give, not is waiting to give, not might give, not could possibly give, not if you go to church enough and are a good enough person and give enough and read your Bible enough, then you, no. God has given us everything we need. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Who's the one that we've come to know? Jesus. Jesus. If I know Jesus, then his life on the inside of me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The same spirit that raised from the dead now dwells in me, Romans chapter 8. If I know Jesus on the inside of me, is already the life of God to produce everything he's called me to produce. Amen. Stand in the Holy Spirit's place this morning.